This week we look back at the remarkable life and work of renowned writer, essayist, and translator Józef Skvorecki, who died earlier this month at the age of 87. The author of novels such as The Engineer of Human Souls was one of the most important in 20th century Czech literature, first making his mark in 1958 with his debut, The Cowards. To discuss that book and more in the first of a two-part program is respected critic, editor, and specialist in Czech studies Petr Onufer. In part one, we look largely at Skvorecki's famous debut, The Cowards.
Well, it definitely is a book that's set the bar very high, and it definitely is one of his most significant novels. But also, well, the fact is that it's in fact not his real debut as far as writing goes. It was his first published book, and of course it took more than 10 years after the book was written before it got published in the first place. And at that time, Skvorecki was already a full-fledged author, and he did know what he was doing. Definitely, The Cowards set the bar very high, but there's quite a few of his novels that are equally as good, and in my opinion, some of them might be even better.
And we will talk about some of those, I'm sure. But if we stick with The Cowards for a little bit, the book introduced the character of Danny Smiritsky, and touched upon many themes or motifs that were close to Skvorecki, obviously jazz being one of them, Anglo-American motifs, which the author loved. Yet this was the 1950s, and from our perspective today, it's almost hard to imagine this kind of book even coming out then. So how did these things actually go together?
Well, they definitely did not go together with the official publishing policy of the totalitarian state. And the very fact that the book got published was, in fact, a combination of several coincidences, and maybe in a different atmosphere, let's say a few months later or sooner, the book would not have been published at all. It was supposed to be used as a part of campaign of one wing of the Communist Party against another. And it served that purpose quite well. Skvorecki got into a lot of trouble for the book. A lot of people who actually cooperated or collaborated on the book, editors, the first reviewer who actually praised the book, got into trouble for that. Some people even lost their jobs, and so on. And the book was banned for several years. So what do you mention? The Anglo-American influence, jazz, all these things that were alien to the communist regime, of course, did not go well with the authorities, and that's why, of course, the book was a controversial one. But that's also the reason why the readers, the audience, loved the book.
So you had this actual kind of situation where, on the one hand, it was immediately condemned by official circles and by the people in power, and on the other, it actually was popular for being what it was as a book.
Absolutely. Plus, no matter how hard it must have been for Skvorecki as a person and as a citizen of the totalitarian state, the campaign against his book was actually the best promotion for the book. And of course, even people who would not normally hear about that book, let's not forget, it's really highbrow literature in a certain way, did hear about the book and did want to read it, which was barely impossible because simply the book was banned, but it could have been borrowed from people who owned the book, or simply the readers would wait for the second edition, which was only possible after, say, 6 years.
How long did it actually spend on the shelves when it first came out before it was yanked?
Well, the legend has it that before the ban became official and before the authorities would decide to get the book out of bookstores, it was already either sold out or hidden, in fact, by the booksellers so that the authorities couldn't actually banish the book, couldn't get it out from the bookstores. So it must have been an immediate success, and it must have been quite fast. I mean, the actual disappearing of the book from the bookshelves.
You said at the beginning there that this was a book that took quite a while to get published, and in that sense, I imagine also that it must be also very consistent with the period preceding the communist push, that the love of things American, that it must have gone back to basically the pre-war period and shortly after World War II.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, I really think that one of the reasons it didn't get published was the actual novelty of style and of writing, not only the values that were inherent in the book, but also that way of writing, that style of writing that was typical of Škvorecký. It might have been, and I'm always reminded of the faith that books by Bohumil Hrabal had. It's just the same story. The books were too fresh or too unusual, not only for the actual censors or authorities and clerks, but also for certain parts of the audience. And here we can actually use an example from the free world, from the United States, let's say, when it took more than 80 years before Kerouac's On the Road got published, where it took a few years before some of the books in the 50s got published. We might see a similar phenomenon, although, of course, in very different conditions, that something new is being born, and it takes a while before it gets its attention from the publishers or from the editors, from the critics, maybe. Because, well, that's quite important to mention, because the book was not only accepted furiously and denied by the official critics and reviewers, but it also didn't go well with some of the unofficial or banned critics. For example, Václav Černý, who was a very, very important Czech critic, and he was banned by the communists, and his articles and books could not have been published, and even ended up in prison for quite a while, just refused the book on basically all levels. He hated the book. And he shared the same values of freedom, liberal democracy as Škvorecký did. So not only was it quite controversial for its values and for its contents, but it also brought something new as far as the form goes, as far as its way of writing goes.
How would you describe his book stylistically, or this book in particular stylistically? Obviously, he's an author that is often referred to as having a certain lyrical style. There is a kind of often painful nostalgia, especially through the character of Danny Smetitsky.
I really think that this is one of the aspects of Škvorecký's writing where we can feel the Anglo-American influence, especially that of Hemingway and maybe Faulkner as well. The nostalgia, that sentimental or lyrical tones that we can hear in Škvorecký's prose are definitely that American legacy. And his style reflects that in a certain way. He is very keen on dialogues. He knows how to build a plot. He knows how to use certain buzzwords. He knows how to use slang, which are the qualities that we now take for granted. But in the 50s, it was far from being normal, especially in the Czech prose, that really, because of course it is a prose of a small nation, of a small culture, it doesn't really have that large an idiom as American literature does. So Škvorecký definitely brought something new and foreign, but being the genius that he was able to incorporate it into the actual homegrown tradition. And we can see from certain authors nowadays, such as Jáchym Topol or Jan Novák, that the tradition that actually started with Škvorecký is doing quite well and is completely natural for the Czech literature.
Did he have contemporaries who were close to him at all? Or who would you rank, say, some writers who were working at the same time who were a little bit closer to what he was doing, if any?
When I read about the 50s and about that murky, gloomy atmosphere, the communist oppression and the ever-present or omnipresent fear of, let's say, dissidents or of the underground movement or of people who simply did not agree with the regime, I always feel surprised how people felt closer to each other. And of course, Škvorecký soon became, after he came to Prague to study English and philosophy, he soon became a part of a certain circle of people. Some of them became his friends, some of them remained his colleagues. And as soon as 1956, there was an underground, illegally published book called Život je jinde, something, Czech for Life is Elsewhere, which actually features writing by Škvorecký, by his close friend, the great poet and translator Jan Zábrana, a very good essay by Václav Havel on Bohumil Hrabal's writing, whose writing is also present in the book. So those would be his, not only his contemporaries, but also his friends and cooperators and simply people who shared the same vision of art and of society, of democracy, freedom, let's say.
Critic and editor Petr Onufr ending that edition of The Arts, looking at the life and work of the great Jozef Škvorecký. Be sure to tune in again next week for part two, focusing on how the author and his wife settled in Canada after the Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia. Topics discussed include how together they founded 68 publishers that helped keep Czech dissident and emigre writing alive.